welcome to the long-awaited episode 3 of A View from the Bridge for the 1st of October 2008. Here in A View from the Bridge, we try to bring you all the news and views of the Currie Belfast Giants and the Elite Ice Hockey League. My name's Patrick Smith.
And I'm Connor Caldwell. Very welcome to the show. Good to have you back with us, and we're glad to be back. So I hope you enjoy what is a very packed lineup this evening, which we're going to try and get through as quickly as possible.
Yes, we've been away for various reasons for a couple of weeks, and we did do a podcast a couple of weeks ago, or record one, that, well, due to technical difficulties, basically Jacko wittering on and on and on, that we weren't able to put out, which is unfortunate, but thanks to Jacko for coming on, and we'll get him on again, and maybe this one will actually make it the air. This week we're going to chat about we're trying to recap on a lot of the things that have went on over the last couple of weeks. We've had a doubleheader in Newcastle, and the events that came out of that, interesting that they were. We had home game against Edinburgh, away game against the Bison, and then we'll be looking forward to this weekend's away doubleheader against Manchester and Coventry. But first of all, Fish, we had the games against Newcastle, and we have... Well, earlier this week I chatted with Kev Pope, Vipers fan and a friend of the show, and he gave us his take on the weekend's games. Well, Kev, welcome to A View from the Bridge. How's it going?
Hi, not too bad, thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad, man. Not too bad. It was an interesting weekend a couple of weekends ago. It is now the Belfast against Newcastle at the Metro Radio Arena, and it was honours even, and quite a good performance for the Newcastle Vipers. Sorry, the Minkoff Vipers in the on the Saturday night's game.
Yeah, I think it was the best that we've actually performed this season. To be honest, you know, we haven't really come together as a team, and I think that's on the Saturday night we really did. Sort of Werner at the back and Longstaff sort of, you know, pulling the strings up front really, you know, gave us a strong performance on the night.
Yeah, I think with the amount of hype that came out of the game in Belfast, a lot of people thinking it was going to be, well, penalties galore, especially with Nigel Boniface in charge. But it was... It was a pretty disciplined performance from the Vipers, and I think maybe that's what surprised the Giants overall.
Yeah, I mean, I think it even surprised our own fans. You know, I think we were expecting for the Vipers to go out from the start and try and set the tone, and instead they did play a disciplined game all the way through. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that was the thing that we've struggled on sort of penalty killing all season, and you know, but didn't take too many penalties on the night, and I think that was the main thing for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And some confident, a confident start, and a number of early goals. The top line doing well.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, they haven't really come together as a unit, but mm-hmm. I think Longstaff and Ivan on the night really, you know, they really settled in well, and sort of Bert Henderson was. Until he got picked up the injury, really looked as if he was going to cause a lot of problems for Belfast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Henderson indeed picking up a goal before he picked up that injury. Now he's hurt his wrist, is that right? And he'll be out for a couple of weeks, a couple of months even.
Yeah, it's looking probably December from the last they said that for him to come back, and that's going to be a massive blow for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the defence was sort of, I mean, it was good defensively, but he was the main link between the defence and offence, and since he's gone out, we've really struggled trying to get forward.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be a massive blow, and someone that really needs to be replaced as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, probably the only downer, what was a good night for the Vipers, and then on Sunday night, again against the Giants, the fortune sort of changed, but it wasn't an outright win for the Giants. I think again the Vipers started off playing pretty well until they went a goal down.
Yeah, I mean we did play quite well, and I think that first goal was a, you know, sort of changed the game completely, and it was a, you know, a goal which really, it was, Ivan took a very, you know, stupid penalty really. Mm-hmm. Dennis had wind them up, and you know, Dennis had really caused problems for us all night, you know, got under our skins. And I think that was maybe the difference, that we were a bit more disciplined on the Saturday. and the discipline kind of went a little bit on the, you know, as the game went on the Sunday. And I mean, Belfast scored two from seven on the power play, and you know, that many power play chances against a side like Belfast, you know, it's going to be difficult to defend.
Of course, the main disciplinary incident of the game came when Steve Thornton went for Andre Payet. What was your view of the incident?
Well, I mean, looking at the video, it doesn't look as bad on the video as I thought it did originally. Yeah. You know, and I mean, I still think it looks quite bad, but, you know, it was one of those which, you know, I couldn't actually believe what I thought I'd just seen at the time. You know, and that's, you know, looking at the other bans which have been, you know, given out to the likes of Voth and Kozak, then, you know, I think probably in that context, the ban, 9-match ban, would probably be about right. But it was a real surprise to see a player like Steve Thornton. You know, it was a bit of a shock to see him react in the way that he did.
Yeah, not something you would expect. But Payet, credit to him, didn't actually retaliate at all as the game went on. Did you find that strange?
Yeah, I mean, Payet has been very quiet this season. He's actually playing quite an effective role on the third line, and he's not taking the stupid penalties that you'd normally associate with Payet. And, you know, he just seems to be getting on with the game and working hard. And, you know, I think it was a big surprise. You know, I expected that the team as a whole would have reacted differently to how they did. And, you know, no one really set out to go after Thornton, and, you know, sort of until the last two seconds of the game, you know, we were pretty disciplined compared to, you know, what I would normally have expected.
And in those last 2 seconds of the game, of course, there was a bit of retribution from the Vipers, which resulted in a ban for Griffith and for Rob Rankin.
Yeah. I mean, it was just stupidity. You know, I mean, like I say, Dennis S. had done a great job in winding up the Vipers all night. And I think it was Rankin who really lost it and went chasing him. And, you know, and then everyone seemed to drop the gloves after that. And, you know, I mean, I agree with the league that, you know, you don't want to see teams just going round and trying to get retribution and sort of sparking bench brawls in the last seconds of the game. It's, you know, and so the game suspension for me was probably the right call in the end.
Andrew Werner, man of the weekend?
Definitely. I mean, some of the saves, and you know, he 51 shots on him on Saturday and 41 on Sunday. I mean, he has been massive for the Vipers in a lot of games this season, and, you know, I think he's going to be really important for us throughout. But, I mean, some of the saves on Saturday night especially were, you know, were world class.
I have to agree with that. Like, and you know the amount of abuse I enjoy giving Vipers netminders, but as the weekend went on, I think a lot of us ended up applauding him rather than throwing abuse. The fact that he's faced so many shots, though, Kev, does not concern you about your defence?
I mean, it's something that happens year on year with us, that, you know, we always seem to get outshot quite heavily, and, I mean, it depends on where the shots come from. And I think on the Saturday night, there was quite a few of them were, you know, from bad areas, which you would expect Werner to save. But then on the Sunday night, I think there was just too many good chances, you know, that we gave up to Belfast. And, you know, I mean, I think Gouye has been outstanding. And sort of Chris McAllister seems to be settling a bit. But, you know, I think Rob Wilson is at times has been very good, but I think at times he seems to struggle defensively, and Jez Lundin isn't quite there yet. So I think defensively we do probably need some cover while Henderson's out.
And then I'd say honours even for the weekend, a fair result?
Yeah, I'd say so. I think Saturday night we worked hard enough and probably deserved to get something out of it. Sunday, I think Belfast, you know, outclassed us really, and, you know, I think that's probably a fair outcome overall.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. And what about the Vipers since then, mate? You had a weekend there of what an overtime or a penalty shots win against the Manchester Phoenix before going to Edinburgh and suffering a heavy loss.
Yeah, I mean, the Manchester game was, I think, what we all expected, with three key players out, really. And, you know, we ended up scrapping, and it wasn't the best game. Dean Holland scored a good equaliser when Derek Campbell did a lot of hard work for him. And I think in the end, both teams really settled for penalty shots. There wasn't much action in overtime, and, you know, probably a point apiece was fair, and we were lucky enough to go on to get the extra points. Mm-hmm. In Edinburgh, the first two periods, the Vipers played very well and really should have been more than one goal up. Mm-hmm. But the third period, I mean, just it was bad discipline more than anything. The Caps scored three power play goals in the first 6.5 minutes of the third period, and we just, you know, never got back into the game after that.
Mm-hmm. How do you see the rest of the season panning out for the Vipers?
I mean, I think a lot of it depends on if Rob Wilson can, you know, get the line settled and just get them playing as a one unit. At the moment, it doesn't seem to be coming together, and certain players, you know, Rankin, for me, hasn't really, you know, settled into his stride. He seems to be, the thing you notice him for is taking penalties, and Tyler Willis really hasn't sort of produced much at the moment either, and we really need to get, you know, all three lines working. Mm-hmm. And like I say, probably get a replacement in for Henderson at the moment, because defensively we are quite weak. Mm-hmm. If Rob can pull it together, then, you know, I still think we could be looking at fifth place would be a decent season for us. Mm-hmm.
And an interesting weekend ahead with a cup game at Whitley Bay against the Manchester Phoenix.
Yeah, I think that should be quite an interesting one. I mean, Whitley's not the place it was last season. It's had a lot of work done to it, so, you know, it's not quite as bad for the opponents coming up here and having to climb onto the benches.
I was going to say they've got new benches now, don't they?
Yeah, they've actually got doors in them, and
good Lord.
You know, I'm told they're going to have plexiglass all the way around. I'm not 100% sure if that's in place yet, but I mean, we had a game against, it was Manchester Storm a fair few years back, where Kirk Clydenhorst really didn't like the rink at Whitley. And I think it's going to be an interesting one. It's a, you know, smaller ice surface, so, you know, that might suit the Vipers over Manchester, I think. So it should be a good game.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks very much for coming on, mate. Wish you well for the weekend, and maybe we'll speak to you again later on in the season.
Yeah, that sounds great. Thanks.
So, thanks very much to Kev. Good to have him on the show. We hope we'll hear from him again before the season's out.
Yeah, so, yeah, like Kev said, it was more or less honours even at the weekend of the doubleheader. It was, strangely, that Newcastle came out. I don't want to go back over too much of what Kev said, but Newcastle came out and were very disciplined in the first game and showed that they could play the game. I think we expected them to come out a lot harder than they did and come out with a lot. You know, there was a lot of talk during the week of watch your back, Belfast, but there was none of that in the first game, and they went quite a bit ahead and left us playing catch-up, which we weren't able to do. But then in the second game, we came out on a flyer, and once we got ahead, Newcastle reverted to form. There was the unfortunate incident of Thornton, which, in my opinion, it was very bad. It wasn't the worst I've seen, but it was worthy of the 9 games that he got, in my opinion.
I have to say now, I haven't seen the incident now, only on video, mind you, but I thought it was a lot worse than the Voth so-called sucker punch, mm-hmm. and was potentially a lot more dangerous, and I think he's very lucky to get away with 9 games. Yeah. He's hit a guy with a lethal implement from behind on the head, mm-hmm. and regardless of what team he plays for, like, that's just, it's not acceptable, and if it happened from any other player in the league, Giants fans would be up in arms about it, you know. And
well, I think it's a testament to Giants fans as well, that there have been very few, if any, dissenting voices about the ban or about, you know, about the punishment. I think that maybe a lot of fans, reading forums from other teams, a lot of fans expected the Giants players to come out in full defence of Thornton, and that it wasn't as bad as it looked. I think that a lot of Giants fans have more or less shrugged their shoulders and said, yeah, well, we expected this, you know, what can you do? But I think it's also a testament to Steve Thornton's side that we're not that worried because there is the strength and depth there.
Absolutely, yeah. And in fact, Thornton's probably been one of the more minor players so far this year. Well, of course, I didn't see him in Newcastle to see how he stepped up to the mark there. But in terms of racking up the points, the focus has really, of course, been on Paul, you say Denisette, I say Denisay. And Colin Shields as well, who's really come on leaps and bounds since the first weekend. I don't think even with Thornton out of the side that we're going to struggle that much to find goals. George Iwata is playing very well. All the British players are really showing their worth. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a very exciting time right now to be a Giants fan.
Yes,
without getting too carried away.
Yeah, I think the strength and depth of the squad is very apparent, and you can't really complain when you're sitting top of the league when you look at the way we were 1 year ago.
Absolutely.
This weekend we had Edinburgh visiting us, but Steve Thorpe was able to play. He was during the week he was handed a 9-game ban, but the Giants lodged an appeal which has allowed Steve Thornton to play, not only last weekend, but for the weekend to come due to a bit of heel dragging by the Elite League, but we'll get to that in a second.
No surprises there.
Yeah. Edinburgh visited at the LSE for the first time this season at the weekend, and Doug Christensen's side a lot stronger in this game than maybe a lot expected.
Absolutely, and they in fact took the lead quite early on. Mm-hmm. So Ross Dalgleish, I believe, went right in on Stevie Lyle and knocked it past him for 1-0. It took us a while to get going, but eventually Awada equalised from you say Denisette, I say Denisette. And Colin Shields put his ahead then from Mike Burgoyne.
Burgoyne.
The Capitals actually levelled it up again, and with just 2 minutes left in the second period, which is, you know, it's really starting to show that they have a lot more fight than in previous seasons. You know, with the victory over the Steelers, and they ran us hard in Edinburgh in the cup game, and to be able to come back again, you know, in previous years Capitals teams would have absolutely capitulated at that point.
Yeah,
but they were very good at the back. And the goalie Robinson actually saved 52 shots through the whole game. Eventually, in the third period, we managed to get two goals ahead. Denisay scoring from Walton's slap shot, deflecting the slap shot in. Mm-hmm. And then Arwee Sheehan getting the fourth goal. But, of course, then, Patrick, your friend Doug pulled one back for the Capitals just towards the end.
Hi, I'm Doug.
What a nice guy. But we held on for the win anyway, and it was really just a preview of what was to come the following night in Basingstoke with a very, very complete performance.
Yeah, but the thing, in the Edinburgh game, I think, unfortunately, the weak point that came out of it was Stevie Lyle. He only faced about 20 shots, and was it three of them went in?
Well, it seems to be a recurring theme so far this year that the Giants are racking up massive amounts of shots on the other goaltenders, and Lyle is letting too many through out of a small amount on himself.
20 shots on goal and conceding that many, you know, it's not great. Yes, Lyle is a confidence goalie where, you know, he needs the shots to get his eye in, but you'd hope he'd do a little bit better.
Well, the thing is, if our defence is only going to limit opposition attacks to only 20 shots a game, then maybe we can afford to let in two or three every game. Where, you know, if we were letting it or having 40 shots on goal, then we could be in a lot more trouble. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Lila's really going to have to earn his bacon then if that's the case. And the defence will have an off night sometime, where some team will come in on a roll. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what Stevie Lyle or Nathan Craze are made of then. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So
speaking of Nathan Craze, he did make an appearance at the game in Basingstoke. And earlier this week, I spoke with Anthony Russell, who we had on at the beginning of the season, about the Basingstoke Bison, and he chatted us about how the weekend and how Sunday's game went. Right, well, welcome back, Anthony. The last time we spoke, well, there was a bit of uncertainty around the Basingstoke Bison, pleasantly, sorry, we're pleased to hear that that's passed and the Bison are with us. And you were witness to quite a game on Sunday evening.
Quite a game. That's a very, very lovely roundabout phrase that I would use. It certainly was an experience to watch from both sides. There were a few Belfast fans up in the away block, including one little girl with her pom poms, who the wannabe member of the G crew. I'm sure she'll make in about sort of 2020 or something like that. But yeah, it was definitely an experience. Definitely a very good night to be a Belfast Giants fan. Not a great night for the Bison again. That's the last two home games we've now conceded 15 goals, and it's a bit of a kick in the teeth at that moment to be watching that side. There's a few problems, but to be fair, you know, there's a lot of us who are just happy we're here now. After that, I mean, I'm sure more than one frequenter to the Odyssey donated money. So you know, I mean, thanks to any and all of you who did. That you know that we're out there on the ice this season, but yeah, it's a bit like dipping your eyes in vinegar at sometimes at the moment.
So, well, it was a hat trick for Colin Shields to start with, and then more or less everybody from across the Giants team chipping in. But Sean Thompson was able to pull one back midway through the game.
Yes, the one upside. I was going to say. I mean, I'm guessing quite a fair few people will have watched the Edinburgh game. Those people who weren't in the O will have taken the opportunity to have watched it live on the updates provided on Kingdom of the Giants as ever. But Lyle again, just I mean the attacks we made, he looked shaky again, which is. Which I think would probably be the only thing that would worry me really about being a Belfast fan at the moment is that Lyle just looked really uncomfortable in net. Mm. I mean, he gave up a very, very sloppy rebound, coughed up on the puck, and it was just sort of sitting in front. And Sean Thompson is a decent player. He doesn't miss that many chances when he gets them. So he put that away. But it was it was 6-0 by the time that we got around to scoring. So yeah,
it's even very little to say about that, is it?
Yeah, well, it's again, just one of those things. Unfortunately, at 6-1, for some strange reason, the Bison decided to wake up and tried getting into the game, which was a bit of a kick in the teeth. But it was, from a Bison perspective, I tried to find the positives in this. Our Brits between Sean Thompson and Ross Bowers, they are absolutely fantastic. They have given 1,000% every shift. They have put it all out there, and I can safely shake the pair of them by the hand and thank them for what they do, because they've left it out there on the ice. I can't really, I think, say the same for some of our imports, which is a big shame. Mm-hmm. But I mean, between Thompson, Bowers, Mark Richardson, Kurt Reynolds, all of our Brits have been absolutely stellar in their effort. But you know, four guys trying to do that job out there is just not happening at the moment, really. Yeah. So. Yeah.
And what about the state of the Bison as is? There was a bit of controversy in Cardiff and a few bans handed out.
Well, that was at the home game against the Devils the week before, which was one of those things. It was a bit of an it was a very, very interesting game. If I'm honest, the bans are a little too harsh, particularly Curtis Patrick getting a match penalty. But I think that was more Thompson trying to keep some sort of consistency in his refereeing. Mm-hmm. I was actually pretty, I had a pretty good good view straight on of both incidents. Brad Cruikshank, well, basically Prippich scored for Cardiff, gloated a little bit, and Brad punched him in the face. Now, from what I've been told, a sucker punch is a punch that you're not expecting, so fair enough, it probably is a sucker punch, but it wasn't from behind like Brad Fox. Yeah. And then it just got to the point where Brad was just lost his rag, the redness descended. He just got so fed up of everything, and he threw his equipment on the ice, and it took Jeremy Cornish coming over, skating over to him and telling him to get the expletive off the ice for him to finally get into the changing room. Patrick took a two-handed slash to the back of his legs from Matt Toe, turned around and punched him. To be fair, I think it was harsh. It was pretty much a straight roughing call because Patrick didn't do anything else. Mm-hmm. And Toe should have been called for a horrendous slash. He should have got at least 2 minutes for what he did, really. And as I said, I mean, Patrick's man, I think, should have been downgraded rather than upgraded. I mean, you and I between us can debate the virtues and vices of how the Elite League Disciplinary Committee seems to be running things. I was going to say, you only try to keep it straight for an hour. What, sorry?
Lick your finger, put it in the air.
Yeah, see which way the wind's blowing. But yeah, it was certainly some interesting matches. But I believe Patrick is back for Wednesday night's game in Cardiff because we're down there again for a league encounter at the Big Blue Tent. Mm-hmm. But Brad, I think he's back. I think he's back Sunday. I'm not 100% sure at the moment. I'm not sure what's happening with him.
And so, based on what's gone so far and with the Bison, what's the next step and how do you feel the team's shaping up for the next month or so?
For the next month or so, something has to happen. Right, there's only so many holes that Ryan Aldrich can verbally yell into them. There's people who agree with me. There's people who disagree with me on this, and so I can only go on what I know and what I feel, and there's people on that ice not pulling their weight, really not pulling their weight. There's people that I feel are going to have to get released, or at least have their 2 weeks' notice waved in their face before they pick up their game.
Yeah.
And we saw what happened last season with Deschatelet, or however you want to pronounce him, now of Coventry, then of Cardiff. He had the 2 week notice waved in his face, and his game picked up substantially and ended up being...
Absolutely.
Cardiff's either second or top point scorer in the season, and it needs to be done because there's some guys on there who just aren't pulling their weight, and it's a real shame, particularly for Kevin Reiter, our netminder, because the general consensus in Basingstoke, and in fact from away fans I've talked to, is he's very good. He's very aggressive, he comes out to challenge, he plays very, very high off the top of the crease when they come over the blue line, and I mean he got beaten on blue line, on sort of blue line flat shots with no screen because his head was just in his chest. You know, he was all over the place, the poor guy. And I was pretty furious by the end of Sunday night that Joe White just didn't get on the ice at all. I mean, Nathan Craze came in at about 35, 36 minutes that Craze came on. And that's fair enough in that position. Belfast were 7-1 up. Craze is a good netminder. I mean, it's well established how good he is. He obviously has won trophies in the EPL with Bracknell. He's played a lot of Elite League ice time. But it got to the stage at the beginning of the third period, and I just wondered what poor Joe White has to do to get on the ice this season, because when it got to 8-1 and he wasn't even being told to warm up, and they just left Reiter in there. And the last 2-3 goals were more because nobody was bothering, and Reiter was just sort of left exposed, and his confidence must have just been through the floor. And it just made me sad, really, because it just makes me wonder what is going to have to happen. Is Reiter going to have both legs fall off? He's going to have to like lose a limb for Joe White to get ice time. But it does bode well for Belfast fans how well Craze performed. He didn't let up any goals, dealt pretty handily with most of the shots that came at him. So can't argue. It was a good performance by him when he got his 25 minutes.
Well, excellent. Excellent. Well, thanks for coming on, Anthony.
No worries.
Best of wishes to yourself and the Bison for the next few while, and maybe we'll speak to you again later on in the season.
Yep. Hopefully under more pleasant circumstances when I'm not racking up the amount of goals scored against us. But don't worry, we'll keep money in the CD player for you guys.
I did hear about that. Very good. All right. Well, thanks very much, mate.
No worries.
So thanks to Anthony for coming back on the show. It's good to have him on again, and I'm sure we'll hear his views as well a couple times more before the season's out.
So a very comfortable
victory for the Giants. And our friend Marty Mack was down as well. What did Marty have to say?
Well, we hope to get Marty on the show today, but I think he's actually gone to bed. He does have a young child to look after. Then his wife has two young children to look after. But,
absolutely. But, I was searching for the gag around those lines, but it just wasn't coming to me at this time of night, you know.
Marty seemed to be quite impressed by the game. Maybe we'll get him on next week to have a quick chat or whatever. But all in all, a definitive performance by the Giants. If you're going to go to Basingstoke, who in the past have been a bit of a bogey side when they wanted to be. But
absolutely.
To go there and get an 8-1 win, stick Nathan Craze in, and come away with without too much hassle and with the points in the bag is exactly what you want to be doing with the likes of Basingstoke and, you know, the Hulls and the Edinburghs. So not too many complaints there. I think a straightforward review of that game.
Absolutely, yeah. And let's hope there's plenty more games like that this season where we don't have too much to report. If we can keep up that sort of performance against the weaker teams, then we'll really find ourselves in and about the melting pot at the end of the year.
Definitely. Right, well, looking forward to this weekend. This is a show that's full of interviews, so to speak, but the next one's quite an interesting one. Ben Knight runs the unofficial Manchester Phoenix podcast, and we've been in touch with him and asked him if he'd like to come on the show, and he suggested that we do some sort of mutual type of interview, and I spoke to him earlier this week and about the game, upcoming game in Manchester, about how the Phoenix are coming on, and at the same time he spoke to me about Belfast. So this same interview is appearing on A View from the Bridge and will be on the unofficial Manchester Phoenix podcast. And, well, yep, see what you think. So, Ben, welcome to A View from the Bridge. How's it going?
Not too bad, and welcome to the unofficial Manchester Phoenix podcast as well.
Thanks very much. I have to say, I've been listening to you since you began at the start of the season. I'm very impressed. It's a great show you've got going there.
We do what we can. I was listening to the Belfast ones before I actually got started, so it's a mutual appreciation society. There,
it's one big happy family.
Absolutely. Fun Media will take over the world and stop Simsy from dominating everything to do with British ice hockey.
It's a tough job, but someone's got to do it.
Absolutely.
This Sunday, mate, we've got a bit of a matchup coming on. It's the first time we've gone up against this. I was chatting to a star of your own podcast, Tambo, at the weekend there, and about Manchester and how you've sort of crept up under the radar for a lot of fans. But looking at your games, it's been a tight old season, because I think you've only had one game so far where it hasn't been a one goal margin.
Yeah, I mean, the only loss we've had so far at all has been against Nottingham, which was, I have to say, I mean, it was a belter of a game, and it was, you know, it was fair and square. We've had a couple of, I should correct that. We had an overtime loss, of course, against Newcastle as well. But I think the headline for us at the moment is Sheffield Steelers played 2-1-2. I think... Well, Squealbleat's been banging on about the fact that they were beaten by this sort of substandard team. Well, you know, third in the league behind Nottingham and you guys, and yeah. I think this season's possibly going to be the breakthrough for Manchester.
Well, like I say, it has been so far one of those seasons that, you know, everybody's been talking about the Belfast, the Coventrys, the Nottinghams and the Sheffields, but as you say, you're third in the league and on merit.
Well, it seems so. I mean, we've suffered a bad hit this week. I don't know if words filtered through over there, but of course we've just lost Grant Jacobson, which the club is pretty well. I've got a non-explicit iTunes rating, so pretty. it's pretty disgraceful. We've all been talking about it, but all he's done is he's decided to follow the money. He's done so with no notice period, which has left us quite financially in a bit of a mess, and probably in a bit of a mess for Belfast this week. So I thought I'd get my excuses in nice and early there for the weekend.
Well, it is, like you say, it is a bit of a, like you say, non-explicit, but kick in the nuts. It's for a player he's gone, what, CHL?
Yeah, so I understand he's disappeared off to Texas.
I can't see that being any. Let's be frank. It looks like he's used you for some sort of pre-season training camp.
It certainly looks that way. I mean, compare that, if you will, to Joe Solari last season.
Yeah.
I think everyone knew fairly soon after he'd got here that he was headed in the direction of Italy.
Yeah.
Certainly anyone who spent much time talking to him knew that. but that was done in a civilized way, and he finished the season and everything else.
Yeah.
This is likened slightly more, in my view, to Dan Tessier. He was the last person to do this, but at least he stayed within the league.
Yeah.
This is, you know, he's up and gone, and I don't think there's any I don't think there's any love for him at the Ice Dome now, but you know, I'm sure everyone will wish him well and hope he doesn't come to any severe harm whilst in Texas. but there it is.
You sound very sincere.
I try my best, but you guys, it's a bit of a runaway at the start of the season. I mean, are you 9 games in? We're 8 in, I think. And you're two points clear of Nottingham, I think, and some pretty impressive results so far. How's the feel of the games at your place?
Well, it has been, like you say, it has been a very successful start to the season, and one that, well, I don't want to say we were anticipating, but we were hoping for a good team, considering that I think Steve Thornton more or less came in and decided, right, everybody out and I'm starting this my way. And he's brought in a lot of young lads who seem to have the hunger for the game. And for the first time in quite a few seasons, we've got three-line hockey in Belfast. It's always been a case that we always had, you know, two decent forward lines and then a third line that maybe got out once in a while. But
that sounds like us.
But for the first time in quite a few seasons, since before Ed Courtney, that we've actually got three very strong lines that are helping us compete. And it's a testament to the side that Steve Thornton's put together that even with the injuries that we've gotten recently, with Malcolm McMillan and Andrew Martin, two key players, Martin especially, that we're still competing and we're still winning the games. So, I suppose sitting on top of the league, it's very hard to complain. But even with the forthcoming ban to Steve Thornton, which is another issue altogether, I think the confidence remains high in Belfast.
Well, I mean, you've got some pretty confident people in there. I mean, Evan Chevrolet, Paul Dennisett, and Bobby Robbins, whose name I always get wrong for some reason, Colin Shields as well. So you're in no sort of severe danger at the moment, I suppose. Mind you, I have to say, I mean, we've started our season with some games, obviously including the Squealers and Nottingham. At the moment, I don't know, who was your biggest test? I mean,
that's the thing I've been, that a few of us have been discussing, that up until now Belfast haven't really been tested. I think this weekend is the real, you know, the real litmus test for the side, because not the right in the other, but we've played Hull and we've played, you know, Newcastle, we've played Edinburgh, you know, and I don't want to be derogatory, but that's not really a test for the, you know, it's not really the test that we want to have, and we feel that
I think Hull's only a test when it comes to seeing how your enforcers are working
exactly, and I think that, you know, this weekend with yourselves and yourselves on Saturday and in the cup, and Coventry we have on Sunday, both games away, it will really be a test to see how this side are and how they play.
Well, absolutely. I mean, in terms of who Belfast have got to look out for this weekend, I think without question it's got to be David Beauregard. Mm-hmm. He's other than the fact that he's a top bloke as well, he's 10 goals now, and you know, he's standing out head and shoulders above. Mm-hmm. Tony Hand's still being a good playmaker. I think he's got himself about 6 or 7 assists must be by now. Mm-hmm. And it's just a different type of side to what we're seeing. I mean, you're saying there you're used to two-line hockey in Belfast. Well, we've been the Tony Hand show for a long time now.
Yeah.
And it's nice to see. I mean, David Beauregard, in my view, actually outshines Joe Solari by a long shot. And I know a lot of people are upset about the Grant Jacobson thing, but I said a few weeks ago, I think possibly on the show, that I'm not seeing from him so far what we were hoping from. So I don't know. You know, I'd like to get Luke Stauffacher back, but it's never going to happen, as people keep emailing me to tell me.
For Belfast, like you say, it's been, like you say, Bobby Robbins is a name you really have to look out for. The guy's been a fantastic player and has been really racking up the points. Not as we have the webcast here for the home games, and the commentator Nigel Ringland keeps referring to him as Trevor Robbins. Now we have to keep reminding him that Trevor Robbins is now gone many years ago, and he really has to get by that.
I love watching the webcasts from Belfast, but I have to say, he's not very good with names, is he?
Well, you do especially does have interesting takes on players' names, but it keeps it entertaining.
I think when we had Luke, he was I think he probably needed to have himself bleeped at one point when he was trying to pronounce their name.
Yeah, I always thought it was Stouffacher, and I give it about three different pronunciations for him when he was
I have authority from him. It was Stouffacher, but people do a bit of a double take sometimes. Bobby Robbins. Unless I'm mistaken, I was just having a flip through the stats earlier on for Belfast, but he's clocking up another type of number at the moment as well, isn't he? He's clocking up his penalties in minutes.
Yeah, that's an interesting one, because initially when he was playing for us, a lot of fans give him a bit of grief for this. Was it if anybody was to go toe-to-toe with him or stand up to him, that he would shy away from it? But he does get stuck in, I think is the best way of putting it. He is getting caught a lot, but I think when he's putting up the numbers positively with regards to the assists and the goals, you can forgive him for maybe a few of the lesser penalty moments. You know,
yeah.
I feel that our PK is very strong. Thankfully,
it seems to be in no small
part to former Manchester favourite George Iwata. I think the guy in the forecheck and the PK is phenomenal, and was last season. But if you throw alongside that our power play is the best it's been in years, in my opinion.
Well, as I say, I've caught bits of webcast and so on, and it certainly looks to be. There's quite a few highlights being posted online at the moment. Again, this is the tack of the fan media, I think. But but then again, you compare that to the penalty minutes for say Newcastle or obviously Hull.
Yeah,
I think Newcastle managed to. In fact, just having a quick flick now on IH update. And it's got it down as 174 incurred by Newcastle. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That can't be right, is it?
Well, does that include their game penalty? I think they've had five game penalties so far this season, Newcastle.
That's just madness, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of talk about it on our show that the traditional enforcer role seems largely to have been abandoned both in America and over here. Mm-hmm. But there are still a couple of teams who have decided they're going to run with it, and I think Newcastle and Hull particularly are doing so at their cost. Kozak, for example, Ricky Kozak is actually a pretty cracking player.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, he's been absolutely wasted. But who knows? I mean, there's more to Ricky Kozak than meets the eye, and a quick dig around on the American forums will shed some light on that and stop me getting sued for defamation, but there's more to that guy than meets the eye, I think. Mm-hmm. But I think this weekend, looking forward specifically to that, I think it's going to be interesting for Belfast, because I don't think Belfast have. I think everyone's probably misjudged Phoenix at the start of the season, and probably understandable. And I think it's going to be an interesting fight. Hopefully, it'll be full-on hockey rather than the shenanigans, but I don't think Manchester or Belfast are particularly looking for a fight at the moment.
No, I don't think so, especially with us, at last I heard we still have Martin and we still have McMillan out injured, unfortunately, which is unfortunate because Andrew Martin is a fantastic player. He's got such speed and ability, you know, that he showed in his first game at the Odyssey with a hat-trick, you know. But one other player I think is worthwhile for some of you guys to look out for is Mike Burgoyne, or Mike Burgoyne, as we refer to him. the guy is one of these D-men who would fire out a poke check, take the puck, and in the blink of an eye he's on the offensive blue line, but he's so unrushed and he looks so laid back in doing it that he would drop the shoulder to go past the player. You know, and while doing so, look left, right, and then pick out a perfect pass.
But this is the thing, isn't it? It's these players who have the sort of spatial awareness that people like him do. Obviously, Tony Hand's famous for it. And we've seen as well in Walker, one of our young Brits, that, I mean, in the past, Manchester's not been tremendous at giving the young Brits a fair crack. And there was the whole mess with Rhys McWilliams and Nick White probably wasn't it didn't work out quite the way I don't think either the club or he wanted necessarily. And again, we've just lost Phil Hamer, who an 18-year-old lad who played with our under-18 side unbeaten, in fact, most of last year. And unfortunately, he's headed back to the ENL, although I suppose probably a space has just opened up, hasn't it?
Yeah.
But I might get on to him in a moment. But yeah, I mean, I think with Burgoyne, I mean, he seems to do it with style. From what I understand, he's not one to... I mean, he'll finish his checks, but he doesn't take unnecessary chances.
No.
He's actually just incredibly able and has this kind of spatial awareness going on.
He is the player that so far has probably impressed me the most as one of Thornton's acquisitions, and probably really, really as good as Bobby Robbins is putting the points up. I think a lot of that has to be down to Mike Burgoyne and like you say, his spatial awareness and his tremendous ability.
What's going on with this ban then?
You know about as much as me, mate. No,
the league's got banned mad this year.
Well, of course, I'm sure a lot of people have seen the on video and, like you say, the fan media, the events that took place in Newcastle a couple of weekends ago. Unfortunately, I was privy to being present at that game and seeing and hearing the crack across the head that that Andre Payet got. How much damage it did him is another matter. But
there's no sense and all that.
Well, that's it. Of course, the league came out with a 9-game ban, which I can see as being more or less justified, to be honest. However, we put it to appeal, and I think a lot of people thought that appeal would be seen within a week. The league have now come out and said that it won't be seen within a week because their appeals process is under, appeal. And therefore, it pushes the actual ban out another 2 games, which means that Steve Thornton, despite being banned 2 weeks ago, just over a week ago, has played, will play four games before any decision is made.
I think there's some logic in that. I mean, if I put my lawyer's hat on for a moment, I think the league's appeal procedure probably did need looking at in any event. I mean, it's been a hard one to call because, I mean, you've heard all of us, obviously, with the Brad Voth incident.
Absolutely.
Vothgate, as I've now started calling it. But the thing is with that, I mean, you know what? There was a sucker punch there. There's no doubt about it. And it doesn't matter which bit of footage you watch. It's definitely there. But did that justify 12 games originally as opposed to Kozak's 10? Mm. Absolutely not.
No, I agree.
I think there was an awful lot of bleating from our friends in Orange and Teal. And actually admitted it when I was down at their barn the other week. But I think, the league probably needs to take a step back and issue a firm statement, which of course it has, but also have a very careful examination of exactly how it wants to run the game, because I think at the moment there's too much uncertainty and I don't think that's doing anyone any favours.
Yeah, I agree. And so I think that a lot of people were shocked, I think, by when the Voth ban came out, and it brought a lot of discussion, because I think a lot of the Voth ban was down to reputation more than the actual incident.
It was revenge for an incident that went largely unpunished last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, more or less, yeah. And now you say they're going to appeal the appeals process, but it sort of puts us in limbo with regards to Steve Thornton. Now, you could say that the reason that, the Belfast have very little grounds to appeal. A few people have said that to me this weekend, and I kind of agree because of what the Elite League handed out and the structure of what they handed out. However, if we took the ban straight away, and this is my theory on it and a theory that a few others have said to me, if we took the ban straight away when it was handed out, we would have had to have played 6 league games and 3 cup games. But
that's right.
By pushing it out, those 9 games turned into 4 league games and 5 cup games.
Yes, that's right.
Which means that it looks as if by pushing it out, we can play and playing in the league and concentrating in the league and not really caring about the cups, which Belfast haven't been successful in for, well, ever.
But as I say, in Sheffield just recently, apparently the Challenge Cup doesn't matter now.
Oh, wait. well, we've thought that for years. Ever since Ayr hammered us 5-0.
Well, I think this weekend's going to be interesting. Definitely. And I predict we're going to have a bit of a defensive game, but I think the key's got to be we've got to rattle your netty early doors, haven't we?
Well, it's the battle of the British netminders, isn't it? It's it's young Stephen Murphy against not so young Stephen Lyle.
And Stephen Murphy, I mean, the one thing you can say about him is, and I know my listeners will be sick to death of hearing me say it, but this is a young man who plays a different type of game. He's used to the European style of making sure that wherever possible you play on, and it wrong foots our opponents every time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, comes with it is he suffers from Fankhauser syndrome and goes walkabout.
I think that unfortunately that our weak spot has been Stevie Lyle. I call him Stephen. Stevie Lyle in the last
very cool.
Absolutely, Stephen Lyle. It has been, and especially if you looked at the game against Edinburgh that we played last weekend, he was the weak point because I think that Edinburgh had about 5 shots on goal and scored about 4 goals, you know? So,
yeah, well, absolutely. I'm just looking at the shots title, actually. Belfast 52, Edinburgh 18.
Yeah.
That speaks volumes.
Yeah, and our day have been so tight that they haven't been giving up that many shots. Like, the doubleheader we had against Newcastle, over the whole weekend, Newcastle still didn't equal the amount of shots we had on either game. I think they had 40 shots all weekend, yet we had 41 shots one night and 53 shots the other. You know, so our D's been very tight, and it's had to be because Stevie, he's a confidence goalie and he needs a lot of shots to get his eye in, but because he hasn't been getting a lot of shots, when the shots come through, he's been
catchable cards, yeah. I mean, it is a danger, I think. I think that's the other interesting thing about this weekend's game is that we're going to see, obviously it's the battle of the Brits in terms of the netminders, but it's also two kind of different styles of netminder, and it's going to be very interesting to see how each other's D cope with whatever offence is going to be brought from the other side. I mean, both teams are either going to have to try and sit back and play a defensive game and look for holes, or they're both just going to have to go hell for leather. So I mean, my prediction is we're either going to end up with a pretty low scoring game or a very high one.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to see the sort of middle of the range scorelines because something's got to give on one side or the other. I think it's going to be very interesting.
Well, and I think the one positive side for Belfast going into the game is the fact that I'm not going to be there because we played 3 games there last season. I went to 2 of them. When we lost the 2 of them, you scored 6 goals. I didn't go to the third, and we won.
Well, look, I didn't go to the Steelers game at home this weekend, and you saw what happened there, too. So, mind you, I was. Huh? I was in their barn for both of our, well, in fact, our last 2 wins, one the season, one the season before at their place, mm-hmm. Including our, I think, 4-0. Yes, we had a nice little shutout against them in their own barn. They didn't like that, you know.
No,
that was in the playoffs as well.
I'd say they wouldn't.
Well, here's a really good opportunity for me to stick in a plug for the fact that this weekend, it'll be Monday or Tuesday, I forget now, there will be the period break coverage from the Belfast game at our place, which is on the usual podcast. And unfortunately, I'm going to have to find a Belfast fan. I was kind of hoping that you were going to be joining us there, but
I've got the Great North Run to do on Sunday, so I don't want to be driving.
Yeah, good luck with that. You've got the only 2 people I've actually heard of doing it are you and Scott Mills. So you have to look out for him. He's the orange guy.
Okay. I'll keep an eye. I've heard the name, but I've never been. But yeah, so unfortunately, as I would usually make the drive down, I would because I probably wouldn't get back till late. I thought I'd skip this one and give the Giants a fighting chance.
Well, you can obviously catch up on the Monday or Tuesday.
As I will.
In fact, I'll put a plea out to your listeners. I don't know if this is going out before the game or not, but if it is, then come and find me, any Belfast fans, at the smoker store at the Ice Dome during period breaks, because I need a pundit for Belfast. I haven't got one yet.
Oh dear, that's a dangerous claim. That's a dangerous thing to do.
I know, I'm now worried. I'm going
to
get
a big queue of people wanting to have their say.
Yeah. Hey, look, they're welcome to do so. Fan media, it's the buzz phrase right now.
Can you not just get Tambo to give his?
Oh, he will do whether I want him to or not. No, that's horrible. Tambo is ever present, and I'm sure our own resident Simsy, God, he's going to hit me when he hears this. I'm sure he'll be more than happy to join in.
I'm changing his name on my phone now to Manchester Simsy.
Oh dear, this is not going to end well. At least I can sit on my side. I can't edit your podcast. Damn.
Well, thanks for coming on. Thanks for coming on, Ben. And I suppose I can give a plug if anybody wants to listen to A View from the Bridge. You can find us on iTunes or at kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast.
You can also find it on the podcast page for the unofficial Manchester Phoenix podcast on the right-hand side, along with links to sites such as The Cat's Whiskers, which is back for Nottingham, and 5 Minute Major, which is Matsky and Becky's I think if this was a Radio Times write-up, I think they'd call it an irreverent look at Beaks ice hockey. It's not quite as I think it possibly contains adult content from time to time. That
an excellent it is too. I've had a read of it myself, and it's very entertaining.
Right, well, thank you very much for coming on our show as well, and I will hopefully catch up with you at some point after the game to see what you make of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe we'll have another one of these crossovers later on in the season.
Absolutely.
Well, that was Ben Knight on the show, and a very unique link up there between Elite League podcasts, and I'm sure we'll have a few more things cooking before the season's over, and there's talk of some sort of a link up at playoffs, so we'll see how that plays out. We'll hopefully keep Hitchy as far away from it as possible. But the thing I'm really interested in now is this video that's come up on the Manchester Phoenix website that we've both just looked at, Paddy. It's a bit of an introduction to this weekend's game, and great, it sort of builds the atmosphere. And the first couple of frames read something like, the Belfast Giants are very welcome in Manchester.
I've got until a playing the in the background, by the way.
Oh, awesome. Until the puck drops. And then it shows a series of clips of Brett Cloutier punching some Giants player when he's down on the ice and Sean Skihar getting the pounding. But it seems to miss out what was some footage from what was an absolutely fantastic game in the Odyssey last year, where the Phoenix missed a penalty, got stuffed, and were beaten in three fights.
One
with Mark Morrison absolutely knocking the head off Luke Stauffacher.
Stauffacher.
Mm-hmm. It's not just a... not just a podcast here, folks, it's an education. I don't know, maybe you guys want to check that out. It's in the Manchester Phoenix website, and it's good entertainment.
That's Manchester Phoenix the hockey team, not Manchester Phoenix the ladies volleyball team, which I found when I took Manchester Phoenix into Google. Well, maybe it is. They are a bit of a ladies' team. Anyway, it'll be an interesting game, as I said in chat with Ben. I think this weekend coming is the first real test for the Giants, because I don't think this Giants team has faced anyone. You know, we talk about the Sheffields and the Nottinghams and the Coventries, and Manchester now have come up into third place, so they're quite a strong team. The Devils, you could say, were a test, but I think that this weekend, with the games against Manchester and against Coventry especially, are where we'll see what the team's made of.
Absolutely, and like you say, Manchester have slowly but surely crept up there, and they're now sitting quite nicely in third position. I think for us as well, obviously, for our Challenge Cup pool, it's a big game, because Manchester would be one of the teams which, of course, would be looking to take one of the slots through to the knockout stages. And if we could take 2 points off them, you know, we'd be sitting quite nicely top of that group, I believe, because we have a game in hand on the Steelers. So it's a big game for both clubs, actually, because if either of them win, then they'll go top with 4 points ahead of the Steelers with two, and whoever loses with two. And Newcastle, who actually haven't played a game in the competition yet, sitting with Edinburgh on 0 points.
And it's a weekend of Challenge Cup for the Manchester Phoenix, because after playing us on Saturday, they travel up to Whitley Bay to play Newcastle in the Challenge Cup no games at the MRI for Newcastle this weekend because of the Great North Run. And yeah, so there, it's a game at Whitley Bay, which Kev talked about earlier.
Yeah, great. Another exciting Elite League arena. So, and so, folks, also coming up this weekend on Sunday night, we're at one of our favourite away venues, the Sky Dome in Coventry, to face the Coventry Blaze. And earlier, Patrick talked to Mark Rainbow, so here's what Mark had to say.
Mark, welcome back to A View from the Bridge. It's been a long time since we've been chatting to you last.
Hello, Paddy. How are you?
Not too bad. It's been a summer of change for your little hamlet down there in the West Midlands. It's a few big names out and a few Giants rejects in.
Well, yeah, we seem to be coming the Giants old boys, I think. I mean, some of the changes were we knew they were coming from a while ago. People like Neil Martin.
Yeah.
It was a bit of an open secret that he was going to go to Denmark last season. And the same with Trevor Coney. Mm-hmm. You know, there's lots of stories from when we were in the Continental Cup when people were coming up, agents and coaches were coming up to Tomo, sort of actually there asking who Koenig's agent was and if they could speak to him. So, people like those we always knew were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
And then we lost sort of Uncle Ucio because basically he got a better offer as a full-time coach in the States. And, well, you can't really turn those sort of offers down. So, good luck to him.
Absolutely. And you've picked up quite a few. Well, of course, they're going to be tough players to replace, especially like, you know, Neil Martin's one of the standout players of the last number of seasons in the Elite League. But you've picked up some good, quite a few good forwards as well, especially if you look at Sylvain Deschalettes from Cardiff.
Oh, definitely. I mean, we were quite lucky in getting Deschalettes or Deschalet or whatever he's called.
Deschalettes.
Should we call him Des? It's easier. because he was basically the sort of 11th hour replacement for Cloutier.
Mm-hmm.
When he first arrived and we played the first few games with him, with Calder and Carlson, it was like a dream line, really.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely done well with him. I mean, and someone like Scott Kelman as well. I mean, he's got wonderful hands. He controls the puck wonderfully.
Mm-hmm.
When he's got the puck, he's a dream to watch. But you know, there's other little things in his game. You think, well, that'd be a bit nicer if you could just apply yourself a bit more. But, you know, the guy was brought here to, you know, provide attack, and that's what he's doing. So.
And you've also picked up two former Giants in Carlisle Lewis and Lee Jameson.
Well, it's one former Giant out with Curtis Hoppy retiring,
yeah,
and going to work for my friend and yours, Theo, over in the States, in Canada, actually. And yeah, we've Lee Jameson, yeah, he's become our utility man, another of our utility man, because he's played both as a forward and as a D-man so far this year. And to be honest, he's doing quite well. He's certainly adding things that we didn't have last year. And then Carlisle Lewis is a bit of an odd character. He's a big bloke, isn't he? He does quite a good line in issuing public warnings to people. And he scored a few more goals than we were all expecting, to be honest. He hasn't really been tested as an enforcer yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't anticipate him being tested next weekend, but the weekend after next we have Hull, so that could be an interesting ride for him.
That's a test for everyone, isn't it?
It's been
a pretty up down season so far for the Coventry Blaze. You seem to either fall asleep for a period, or you leave it late.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we're definitely a two period team this year so far. First few weeks we put the second period off. And now last weekend we took the first period off, so hopefully they're working up to playing for a whole three periods.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just hope it doesn't go to overtime.
What about the backstop then in Parash? You acquired him from the where he was at the Edinburgh Capitals last season. Raised a few eyebrows when Tomo went for him, because maybe he just wasn't one of the standout players, one of the standout netminders. But how's he held up so far?
He's a bit of an odd one, really. It just goes to show how we Blues fans have been spoiled over the last few years with JD Layman, mm-hmm. And Koenig, and what's his name, the wee lad we had from you a few years ago. You know, they've all been really sort of neat and tidy keepers. Mm-hmm. You know, they're all about sort of staying square onto the puck, and it's all about being in the right place. Whereas Praz is very much more, he goes down well, he's sort of throwing himself at the puck, and it's very heart in your mouth kind of approach to keeping. And, I don't think he's won everybody over yet.
Mm-hmm.
But there again, I don't think, I mean, because the Blues are conceding hatfuls of goals in every game so far.
Yeah.
And, you can't put it all down to him. It's, I think he's doing his part, but it's just a completely different style. He's a lot rougher, and, like I say, it's very heart in your mouth type of keeping, so.
Mm-hmm. But of course, one thing you always have with a Coventry Blaze team is Tomo, and renowned for putting together the great teams that he does. I'm sure that you and Coventry have, despite the, like you say, falling asleep for a period, you still have that confidence that you'll be there or thereabouts come April or March.
I think there is a confidence, and it's building. But the first few weeks of the season have been very, very rocky from a Blaze point of view, from what what we've been used to over here. Now, we played possibly the worst game of hockey we've ever played in the Elite League against Sheffield and Sheffield 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
when they gave us a right thrashing. And then the following night, Cardiff overturned a 4-goal lead to beat us in at home at Skydome. And so, whereas in the past, we'd never have let 4 goals slip, or we'd never have played like we did in Sheffield, this team haven't quite got that find-a-way approach yet. But it's starting to build. There's been little tweaks in the way the team's been set up and the lines that, the last, especially this last weekend just gone, where a couple of extra people have sort of been more involved in the game. And we've developed a sort of secondary scoring after Carlson and Calder.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And then this weekend, you're away to Basingstoke on Saturday. And then probably what would be the Giants' first big test of the season would be our game travelling to the Skydome on Sunday evening.
Yeah, just talking about Basingstoke first, we've been there once already.
Mm-hmm.
And it's impossible to get a read on Basingstoke at the moment because, to start the season, they barely had a side together. And then the last few weeks, they've had two or three of their key players sat in the stands because they've been banned. And I think they're still waiting for one guy to appear in the country. So Saturday could be an interesting one if they've got their whole squad together, because it could be the first time pretty much they've had that. And that we can sort of measure how well they're doing. They're a very rugged side, Basingstoke, and they go down fighting. So that Saturday's game isn't a foregone conclusion, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And then Sunday at Skydome, like you say, it's the first time Belfast have played anyone in the top half of the league,
mm-hmm.
and I think it'll complete our set of the top five, if you like. We've played Nottingham, we played Sheffield. And we've got yourselves to play, and so that's the top half covered. So these sort of games are always, I always look forward to the Belfast games because something always happens. It's always a good game to watch, and it always means something. And the other thing as well is that Belfast, when they come to play and they'll play for 60 minutes, whereas in the past we've seen teams that have just come to sort of shut up shop and they're only there just to make the numbers up and just get on with it and leave and get home as quickly as they can. So,
And then, what are your onwards from Belfast? Like I say, I assume you're hoping to be there or thereabouts come the end of the season. Do you see a confident future for the next couple of months?
Well, it seems that this year, more than any other year, everyone is beating everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, you know, the weekend we beat Nottingham, they caned Sheffield the night before, and the weekend before that, Sheffield caned us. So it'll be interesting to see how we can match up against Belfast, and in fact, you know, how Nottingham and Sheffield do as well, because, you know, I can see everyone sharing all the games between all four or five teams there. So, I think it'll be a more interesting league this year in a lot of ways. I think it's going to be really tough for the Blaze because we haven't quite got that sort of all-conquering side. Mm-hmm. And people like Nottingham certainly built a very interesting side, and so have the Giants.
Of course, I think you're one of the probably the only team left with that hasn't had a player badly injured, a player banned, or a player left for the States.
There was some incidents in Cardiff on Sunday where I've read on a few of the forums how a couple of our players, you know, Cardiff fans, have been sort of drawing breath and saying, "Oh, they'll get banned for this, that, and the other." Especially after they've seen Brad Voth asked to take a couple of weeks off. But so far we've heard nothing yet, so fingers crossed we will be still the last team not to get anyone hospitalised or banned.
Well, thanks very much for coming on, Mark. I'd love to wish you well for the weekend, maybe in the Basingstoke game, but not so much on Sunday.
Well, I'd love to do the same, by the way.
And maybe we'll get you back on again if you're game for another chat later on in the season. See how the Blazers Blazers are struggling around the bottom of the league.
Well, who knows?
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, see you soon. Bye.
Yep, cheers, Mark. Once again, Mark's been on a few times with us here at A View from the Bridge, and always good to hear from him. A few good points there about Coventry. You see, they seem to be a team who have fallen asleep for one period and seem to let in a lot of goals, and maybe aren't as strong this season as they have been in past seasons, but not really a team you can rule out.
Well, certainly not, and given our record in the Sky Dome, I don't think Giants fans are generally too optimistic about trips there. But like you say, Coventry have sort of been a little bit off the boil this year, and they're sitting down there, and well, I suppose they're in fourth position, but they gave up, I think it was a huge result when the Devils came back to beat them. Mm-hmm. And I think that was in Coventry a couple of weeks back. We talked about that. So, though a new Giants outfit there, you know, pretty much a complete roster turnover from previous seasons, and the Giants' new players won't have the same stigma, I suppose, attached to playing at the Sky Dome. Mm-hmm. Although the Coventry fans never make it a pleasant atmosphere for visiting teams, as we know too well, and as our good friend Davey knows as well.
If he's listening,
he loves it, is right. So, fingers crossed that the Giants can go and take at least a point there. It would really keep our momentum going, I think. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't like to lose another game so quickly after the Newcastle one. Mm-hmm. If we could take 3 points from this weekend, you know, I'll always say, well, 2 points in the cup, obviously, and 1 point in the league, I'd be very, very happy. But like I say, it's a big, big test for the club to see how they can cope going back to back against two of the better teams in the league. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, I think that when you look at Coventry, of course, they've got the they've now with former Giants Lee Jameson and Carlisle Lewis, and in the last couple of games, well, you look at, they themselves came back from a 3-0 deficit to beat the Cardiff Devils themselves there at the weekend, as Mark talked about, and maybe they're starting to get a bit of momentum themselves, and I think this might, hopefully, touch wood, this could be a watershed in our season. I think that the real tough test for us will be the Nottingham Panthers, who seem to be on a hell of a roll at the minute. But to go past the Coventry Blaze would be a great psychological barrier, especially at the Sky Dome.
Yeah, I think probably for the fans more so than the players, if the fans can really start to believe in this team. It obviously then that gets relayed onto the ice, and I'm sure a good performance in Coventry would go a long way towards winning over any other skeptics about this year's team that there are remaining amongst the team's support. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So big test, and let's hope that the goals can keep flying in. If we put up anything like the shot totals we have been doing in the last few weeks, I'm sure we can take at least a point. Mm-hmm. The only question, of course, remaining whether the defence can be as solid as it has been.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I think that's about us for this week, mate. It's been a hell of a show. A lot of people talked to, and a lot of issues covered.
It's been great for me because I didn't have to do any interviews, and you know, just come on here and
it's going to be you next time, and I'm going to fire them all in your direction.
Well, that's all right. I'm just signing off here in time to see the Dodgers take on the Cubs in the first round of the baseball playoffs, a game which I'm very, very excited about.
Did the baseball season not end there last week?
No, that was just because the Yankees were actually
knocked out. I think I said all over. I don't think there's anything remaining.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's a big crowd out in Wrigley Field tonight who completely disagree with you.
Really?
And you might want to tune into that just to see.
That's just preseason. They're actually preparing for next season.
For next season, for the Yankees to come back. Yeah, I'm sure.
Pretty much. But yeah.
Anyway, no one cares about baseball that listens to this show. And so, folks, please remember you can get in contact with us at podcast@kingdomofthegiants.com or on the website.
It's www.kingdomofthegiants.com/podcast. We'll be back next week.
And folks, of course, next week will be Patrick's last podcast as a single man before he goes off to sign his life away on a lovely beach in Mauritius.
Yes.
So we'll have to have some sort of special
ladies.
Sorry, ladies. He's done. He's all finished.
I'm signing off.
His turkey's bought, my father says.
Next week.
Everyone out there, if you could just say a prayer for poor Victoria McDonald, who's going to have to put up with him for the rest of her life.
Soon to be Victoria Smith.
That'll be the day.
Next week we'll chat about the games that have gone by, and if that's if I'm alive, I'm doing the great. I don't know if I've mentioned this a few times, but I'm doing the Great North Run on Sunday, and if I'm still alive, I'll be happy to come on and continue the podcast.
Well, and remember, Patrick's still looking sponsorship for the Great North Run, so look up his website at...
Yeah, justgiving.com/Patrick Smith.
Patrick was always a bit of a giver.
Yes, it would be. Yeah. Thanks, man. wherever you are this weekend, enjoy your hockey.
Absolutely, and we'll see you next time here at A View from the Bridge.
Bye now.
Bye.
And now we're going back to Doomed for this week's Stat of the Week.
The players of the Coventry Blades have sticks 2 inches longer than people in Wales.
That was this week's Stat of the Week.